Audio from the Montreal book launch of the book How to Abolish Prisons, Lessons from the Movement Against
90.3 FM Montreal. You're listening to CKUT.
What's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. I'm your host for the evening, Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
On my neck, hands around my waist, so you know what's coming next. I wanna feel your lips on mine. I just wanna feel a little tongue. We don't have a long time. Ooh, you're talking nasty and I like it. Whisper in my ear, only me you can hear. I seen it from the back and I'm excited. Tell me what you do when we walk up in the room. Yeah, hope it's something nasty we can try. On my neck, leave a sticky icky in a place I won't forget. I like lipstick on my neck, baby. I'm obsessed.
Make me harder, make me lose my breath, make me water, make me sweat, make me harder, make me lose my breath, make me water.
Normally, I could keep my cool, but tonight I'm whining. I'ma be in a dangerous mood. Can you match my timing? Telling me that you're really about it. What you're hiding? Talk is cheap, so show me that you understand. I like it. My soul from it. I don't want
Yes. We're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening is Dr. Fenwa Milhouse, a board-certified, fellowship-trained urologist and specialist in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery, also known as urogynecology. She previously worked for the largest private practice in the state of Illinois as a leading pelvic floor surgeon. In 2023, she started her own practice and is currently the co-founder and owner of Down There Urology in Chicago. Dr. Milhouse enjoys using social media to destigmatize pelvic floor and sexual conditions, as well as demonstrate the importance of representation in urology. Known by the world as your favorite urologist, she has been featured on several media outlets, including Yahoo, HuffPost, Essence Magazine, CNN, Insider, Cheddar News, WGN Chicago, Fox News Chicago, The Ricky Smiley Morning Show, MD Newsline, Sex with Dr. Jess, and regularly on blackdoctor.org. And Dr. Milhouse is the star of TLC Network's Doctor Down Below. Fenwa Milhouse, Dr. Fenwa Milhouse, I apologize. Welcome to Montreal. Welcome to Soul Perspectives. Thank you so much for being here this evening. I'm so happy, so excited to be able to talk with you.
Thank you, Kim. We can be casual this evening. But
Let me tell you something, okay?
Thank you for having me. As a black man,
I love when fellow black folks have their titles, and I will use it. And it, like, I had last year, I met someone who was a professor at McGill University, and the first thing I said was, "Welcome, professor." You know, I love, because it's something that you work hard for. Like, becoming a doctor is not a, oh, I'm just gonna do that tomorrow and get my doctorate, you know, and get my PhD. No, I know it's at least 5 to 7 years. And that's after like probably 10 years of 4 years of medical school and another 3 years of this school. And then you decide to specialize in, like, I have friends who are doctors. So, you know, Give the flowers when they're due. Give the flowers. So let's just jump right into it. How did you decide to become a urologist?
I love this question. So medical school was always in the plan. I grew up wanting to be a doctor. And when I got to medical school, I had no idea what kind of doctor I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. Everybody seemed to have picked their specialty. I'm going to be a radiologist. I'm going to be a pediatrician. I'm going to be a gynecologist. I had no idea. One of my friends early on in medical school told me he was going to be a urologist.
Okay.
And I had no idea what that was. Actually, I had never heard of that. And I looked it up on Google and I was like, okay, this is like the male gynecologist, bunch of men, mostly white men, surgical specialty. I mean, I like crossed it off my list immediately. I didn't see myself in that at all. I didn't see myself taking care of predominantly men. I didn't see anything that looked like me as a representation of what urologists were. I didn't even see myself as being able enough to be a surgeon. I know that sounds sad, but it was true. I didn't see myself as being capable enough, I should say. And then a year later, second year medical school, I'm in the lecture hall and we're given a lecture by a urologist, and I'm actually packing my stuff to leave, to dip out on the lecture, because I'm like, I already crossed this off my list. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, boop. I'm going to head out class early. And as I'm gathering my backpack, my friend, who's also a black woman, taps me and she's like, look at the person giving the lecture. And I look up and it's a black woman. It's a black woman urologist who happens to be our lecturer. And I'm amazed that this was the urologist in front of me. And she looks like me. And first of all, I'm not about to be one of the few students walking out, even if I didn't care for what she said, I ain't about to walk out on my good sis, okay?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
There's only two, there's only like 200 of us, you know, and you could easily see who is walking out. And it ain't about to be one of 10 Black people that were in the class. Ain't
right.
about to be me. So I sat my butt back down and listened to what she had to say, but I wanted to hear what she had to say now, because I was amazed that, you know, this was a urologist. And so the rest is kind of history. I was immediately gravitated towards the specialty through her, through her representation. And I wanted to find out why she went into urology. I was like, well, how did you get there?
Exactly.
And through that, I found a specialty that I love, and I found that I could be a surgeon, and that I was actually really good at it, and I was good at this, at these type of conditions. So here I am, board certified urologist. It does take a lot of years, but I'm here to. Part of what I do is to be that representation for others, as I had that experience.
Yeah. It representation goes a long way. It goes a long way. Seeing yourself in the position. I mean, I studied film myself, and one of the reasons why I didn't pursue a career in film was because here in Montreal, when I was, you know, going through film school and then coming up and like getting exposed to the film industry, I didn't see myself at all. And I was kind of discouraged. I was like, this doesn't feel, and that was 2007, you know?
A lot ago.
What I had forgotten to say at the beginning of the show is that we are also in the month of May. And for the listeners who know, we celebrate Black mothers during the month of May. And one of the titles that our good Dr. Milhouse also has, she's Mama.
Yes.
So that is also one of the reasons why she is here this evening. She will be talking about motherhood and Black motherhood, as well as her career, because I'm sure that you also work with mothers as well, since you are a urologist and a pelvic floor surgeon, et cetera, et cetera. Let's dive into that. How has Black motherhood been for you?
Oh, motherhood is not easy. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it, especially working motherhood. But I think motherhood, even when, you know, in all capacities, it's not easy. I think motherhood is getting harder just because of the influences of the world that really have on our kids. You know, children are growing up with more depression, more anxiety, are exposed to more, have more pressure on them than even we did. And so I worry all the time, am I doing enough to prepare my child for the future, to equip them mentally, emotionally, for what I know life will have to bring, you know. But there, the more complicated part motherhood for me is being a busy physician and surgeon. I have a tremendous amount of mom guilt,
right?
Because I am not present in the home as much as most mothers typically are, and as much as I would want.
Right.
And my children have gotten used to, especially my youngest, of not necessarily being there for particular moments, you know, because I'm on call, or because, you know, I have to take care of a patient or something, you know, and just long hours. I remember for years, I would get home at least one day a week past like 8, 9 p.m. and I wouldn't see my youngest daughter to bed, you know. And so it'd be almost a whole, and I'd leave before she went to school. So it was like almost a whole 24 hours, or more before she would see me.
Yeah.
There are times even now, like as I'm speaking to you now, there are times that I'm away from the house, from my home for like 5-7 days at a time, wow, working in rural places in Illinois that's away from my family. So it takes a lot out of me being a family. Even when I had my youngest daughter in residency, I went back to work immediately. 4 weeks later, I was back in the operating room,
wow,
working. And I depended heavily on my mom. And thank God for community and village. It really, truly takes a village. And I feel so bad for mothers who don't have a village. I couldn't have done it without the village, child.
Yeah.
My mom moved to Chicago. She did not live in Chicago. She moved to Chicago and moved across the street from me.
Wow.
So I could have my child residency, get back to residency, get back to business. And she's basically took care of my baby every single day while I was at work and my husband was at work. And then my husband is, he joked to me last week. He was like, I'm going to start charging you child support. But hats off to Black fathers. I know it's not Black Father Month, but hats off to Black fathers. He is everything, the cook, the clean, the chauffeur, the laundry, and he works. He's a working Black, you know, he works, but
right,
he does a lot. I'm rambling, but anyway, it's
no,
hard
not
to juggle. It really is hard to juggle. I tell people you can't really have it all in the sense that you have it all the time. I think that's a fallacy.
Yeah.
You, like, I'm happily married. I have children. I know I talk about my youngest daughter, but I have two beautiful older bonus children. Becoming a wife, I became an instant mother,
okay,
through my husband's children, who are my children now. But anyway, I'm a mother of three and a busy surgeon and now an entrepreneur.
Right.
So I can't be good at all three of those things at the same time. There's not enough energy, enough time in the day.
Yeah.
I'm excelling at one and the other two are kind of, you know, getting the leftovers.
Yeah.
And that might be motherhood one week. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That might be wifey 1 week. A lot of times it's surgeon, mom entrepreneurial. That's the easiest one to be engaged with. Like, it takes a lot more to,
yeah,
to think of yourself as a wife and a mom.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like so. It's hard, but it's beautiful. It's rewarding. You know, as for all the Black mothers out there, kudos to you. It's hard raising our Black babies. Ooh,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so much we have to teach them and instill in them. And especially my heart and soul goes out to single Black mothers doing it out there. Mm-mm-mm. Y'all are built from some other type of magic, seriously.
Yes. I've somehow found you on social media. Not that you were lost, but I discovered you on I'm trying to find the right word. I fell onto your social media page and I was just fascinated by like the information that you share. Last year and the year before, I had the privilege of I'm not educated on anything medical or even regarding sex and sexuality. I'm just a person who loves to talk about sex, and I think that, you know, we need to have healthy conversations about sex and stuff like that. And I've spoken to many coaches and recently had an interview with a sex therapist back in April. And so when I saw your page and I saw you were talking a lot about health and urology and you were talking about the advancements in medicine, I believe you posted about a UTI vaccine that people could take. I was like, okay, I need to somehow get this doctor on the show, because there's so much. First of all, we don't really hear about Black urologists, regardless of gender. So that for me, check. We need to get you on the show, and I think, like you said, representation is important, and I want to ensure that folks know, okay, look, maybe it's not happening in Canada, or maybe I just haven't found the people who are in Canada yet, but we need to know that there are people out there who have those careers and who are doing those things. And I just love learning. And I think that I want to forever remain in a state of learning, because you stop learning, what's the purpose? What's the purpose, you know? Constantly in a state of improvement, not perfection.
Agree.
Yeah.
Agree.
So let's talk about the vaccine that you found. Like, why is it important for this? Like, let's talk about the vaccine. Yeah. How did you discover this? Like, this.
Why is it so important?
And why is it so important?
Breaking. Yeah. Ooh. Recurrent UTIs or UTIs or problem with UTIs has got to be the most common thing that I see in my practice. Mm-hmm. Okay. And recurrent UTIs, first of all, women who are largely at risk of UTIs, there's a very, you know, distinct difference in the risk with a female urethra and a male urethra. And I'm using the dichotomy and gender identity of women, but please know it's just related to the actual female anatomy, urethra versus male urethra. So women are significant risk. By being a woman, you're more likely than not to have a UTI in your lifetime, period.
Yeah.
The opposite is true for men. Men are much less likely to have a UTI in their lifetime. So 50 to 60% of women have a UTI in their lifetime. All right, very common. One in four have three or more every year. Okay. And for your male listeners, I need you to know, life stops. Okay. Imagine the constant feeling like you need to pee. Mm-hmm. There is no relief. You go to the bathroom, you pee, and then it hurts like hell,
right?
Like knives stabbing your urethra or pissing fire.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you may get a second of relief just to feel that urge immediately again. And this continues. Okay. Yeah. That is classic UTI. And it happens suddenly. Mm-hmm. You'll be peeing normally, and then suddenly it hurts, it stinks, and it's constant. So if you imagine getting something like that happening every 4 months or even more, there are multiple patients I have that have a UTI almost every month. Furthermore, the problem is the organisms are getting more resistant to antibiotics. So we're running out of oral antibiotics faster than we're creating new ones to deal with these recurrent strains. We have over antibioticized our bodies. I know that's not a word, but
all words are made up words.
Yeah, exactly. We use antibiotics for colds that are caused by viruses. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We use antibiotics. But I got a sniffle, get an antibiotic. We love our antibiotics. The problem is it's created a much bigger problem in that now these organisms are gnarly and they're super bugs. So I have multiple patients that I've experienced where I'm like, you have a UTI. I have nothing I can give you oral medication wise because it's resistant to everything.
Yeah.
And guess what? Now you have to go and get an IV placed and get infusions. That's crazy.
Yeah.
For a bladder infection. That's crazy. So we have methods to reduce UTIs. We do have some methods that have been known to work. Primarily, especially in peri and postmenopausal women, if you have three or more UTIs per year and you have not been offered vaginal estrogen, your person managing you is not doing you right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So every woman who is peri and postmenopausal who has three or more UTIs needs to be on vaginal estrogen, end of story. Okay. That has been proven to reduce UTIs. It is not dangerous. It's safe for anybody. I don't care if you've had breast cancer, it's safe for that person too. Okay. Mm-hmm. It is safe if you had DVTs, if it's safe if you're a smoker, it's safe. So we have that. We sometimes women will get UTIs right after sex, so we can maybe try doing an antibiotic right after sex. And there's other things like high dose cranberry supplements and stuff, such like that. But actually, this was, I guess, developed in Spain, but it's available in the UK mm-hmm. as we know it now. And it's a vaccine that targets four of the most common causes of UTIs,
right.
E. coli, Proteus, Klebsiella, and Enterococcus, E. coli being the grandfather, you know, the main Mac Daddy.
Yeah.
And it's not a vaccine that we think of like an injection. It's a spray. It's under the tongue or called sublingual. And it's a spray. You spray two sprays and you're under the tongue every day for 3 months.
Right.
So kind of a long vaccine, which kind of is not kind of annoying and may decrease like compliance, but easy to administer, right? No right. needles, no whatever.
Right.
And what they have found is that this has been around for quite some time. They have data now up to 9 years. But even in the first year, they noticed a significant reduction in UTIs, like 60%, 70% reduction in UTIs, okay? Not only in the frequency, but also the duration. So even if you got a UTI, it was less severe. They commented that it is approaching as good as getting a daily antibiotic. But the nice thing is, it's not, when you have a daily antibiotic, you're increasing your resistance yes. to that antibiotic.
Yes.
With this vaccine, there's not that factor.
That side
the effect. The most recent thing that came out last month in April is that they've had 9 years of data so far, which is a really long time in mm-hmm. science. I mean, it's almost a decade, right?
Yeah.
And though the study population is only 89 patients, so it's not a large population.
Right.
It's profound that they have 9 years of data in these 89 patients. Okay, so let's think about that. And 54% of these patients have not had a UTI in that 9 years since taking that vaccine.
That's okay? a lot. That's one in
That's
two
a-
people.
That's you're talking about. You're taking on all these people had UTIs every 3 months or more often.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, remember these aren't the people just random people just with on the street. These are all people who had UTIs every 4 months or more often.
Right.
And now, half of them haven't had a UTI in 9 years. That's huge. That is
I would
huge.
Call that a scientific success.
Yes, you huge. Know,
if I was Einstein, I would say Eureka.
Eureka. And even if you didn't get to 9 years, the average duration of UTI free, meaning from your last UTI to the next, the average UTI free duration was 4.5 years for women, 3.5 years for men. They did include men in this study.
Right.
So it wasn't just women. They didn't have a lot of men, but they included some men. And for women, it was 4.5 years UTI free, 3.5 years for men. That's excellent. That's excellent.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Dr. Fenwa Milhouse, a board-certified fellowship-trained urologist and specialist in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery, also known as urogynecology. And we are also in the month of May, so we are celebrating Black Mothers, and Dr. Milhouse is a Black mother. So, you know, we're talking about Dr. Milhouse's career and Black motherhood as well as she has experienced it. This is Radio Land, so we do have to pay some bills, play some music, but keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
This is Lukey D. Real food you want, come to Mango Bay every day.
Real food. Mango Bay Restaurant, located in the heart of downtown Montreal, 1236 Mackay Street, Suite 201. For reservations, please call 514-875-7082 or visit mangobay.ca. Real food.
Let's get together.
I'm from outer space. I got Milky Way for blood, evolution in my veins. I'm gone, I've been far away. I'm illuminated, I'll make a move, start a waves. I've been dreaming about flying for a long time. I had a vision from the crazy, they want a cosign. Artificially intelligent AI.
such bad vibes when the world is already full of dirty laundry? Why are you so negative? Why would you have to be so mean with yourself, with your kin, obligating me to intervene? Do you need some food? Are you lacking some sleep? Do you need a warm embrace? How can I change your mood? How can I flip your attitude? Can I put a smile on your face? Can't you just be cool?
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. This is the month of May, so as we've done in the last 2 years, we are celebrating Black Mothers, and our first Black Mother for the month of May is Dr. Fenwa Milhouse, who is a board-certified, fellowship-trained urologist and specialist in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery, also known as urogynecology. She previously worked for the largest private practice in the state of Illinois as the leading pelvic floor surgeon. In 2023, she started her own practice and is currently the co-founder and owner of Down There Urology in Chicago. Dr. Fenwa Milhouse, thank you so much. I am just filled with gratitude for having you here with us this evening. I love the name of your company. You're down there. I mean, it couldn't have been a better name.
It's
down there. What's going on down there?
Down there. Oh my God. Everybody says down there. Oh my, mm-hmm. I hear it 100 times a day, I feel like. Everybody says down there, down there. And it's funny because down there is a lot of different things, right?
Yeah.
And I need to make sure I'm in the same, like, mailbox. Like, we're talking about the same thing. We might be in the neighborhood, but I want to make sure I'm at the right address. All
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So when people say down there, I like play coy and stupid. I'm like, what do you mean your toes? Like, your toes are down there, right? Your feet are down there. Like, no. You know, right here, my area. And I'm like, okay, for men, for instance, you've got the penis, you've got the testicles, you know what I'm saying? You've got the taint or the gooch or the whatever you guys are calling it these days. We call it the perineum in medicine. You know, so there's different parts. And like my assessment and what I'm thinking might be going on will be different depending on where you're referring to.
Yeah.
For women, we've got the labia, we've got the urethra, we've got the vaginal opening, we've got the clitoris, we've got the vagina inside itself.
Labia
we've got
majora,
the
labia minora.
Exactly. So like they'll often, and it's okay to like not know these terms per se, but like I will say just use the street name for it. All right.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I can deal with it. You know, well, can I say, you know, dick? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I say dick. You know what I'm saying? Or you know what I'm saying? Use the street name, but but I love my practice name. I was shocked that it hadn't been bought up or whatever before now. I'm like, ooh, what urologist hasn't thought about this? I love it. It's so memorable and so relatable. And yeah, I'm very proud of it. Very proud.
And it's also very much like, it doesn't feel like alienating, you know,
mm-hmm.
it feels like, oh, okay. We talking about down there. Okay. All right. Yeah. You get me. All right. Cool. As opposed to like Dr. Such and Such Urology Center of the blah, 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 blah. And you're just like, I don't know.
Yes.
It's that thing of representation and of like kind of feeling like, okay, I'm welcome. There's, you know, because
yes.
We always, especially in the Black community, we always talk with our our own vernacular, our own slangs, and you know,
mm-hmm.
it's also a conversation starter.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you work? Oh, I work down there. You know, and it's like, what do you mean? Down there. It's down there. You can have so much fun with it.
Yeah.
I love it. So earlier when we were talking Black motherhood, and in particular your Black motherhood, you spoke a lot about mom guilt. And I wanted to know, what do you do in order to bring balance? Because yes, sometimes you work takes a lot of your time, but you know, life is about balance. And I'm wondering, how do you take care of that? Because you know, it's a mental health thing, and you got to take care of it too.
Yeah, I am a work in progress. I am still learning how to balance. I will say this, I'm very active on social media. It's almost like a second job, mm-hmm. as you probably can relate.
Yes.
And it can take a lot of time out of you and distract you from being in the moment. You know what I'm saying? Like you're there, but you're not there.
Yeah.
Because you're post, whatever. And so I kind of shut that out during the weekends, because the weekends have become time for me to recapture with my family. And so if I post on the weekends, it's pure, just random. I'm having fun, doop.
Yeah.
I'm not actively curating content or doing that on the weekends. It's become kind of a sacred time. And the weekends go by so freaking fast.
Yeah.
It's not enough, but you know, it is, you know, it's what we have because we're so busy during the week.
Yeah.
I also really try to remove my phone from the scene. That's like the hardest thing for me to do. But my daughter also has a phone too. Everybody in my family has a phone. So it's like, they also are like kind of glued to it too, but we try to do that. You know, as my kids get older, mm-hmm. we can relate to, like, it's now easier to hang out, you know, especially my two older bonus kids. Like now, mm-hmm. like we can hang out, like, you know, they're 21, 24, you know, they can ask me for really adult advice. I can like talk about certain things with them. My oldest daughter is like helping me renovate our organize our practice space, so mm-hmm. I get to interact and be around her a lot, so that's fun. Even with my youngest daughter, she's 11 going on 16, mm-hmm. so like, and we talk about, you know, I can relate to her because she's a cheerleader and I was a cheerleader, so it's kind of nice to like have this now, kind of as they grow up, like, okay, now I'm having, you know, maybe a little bit more adultish type of relatable things to talk to them. But I try to really protect that time because they're only going to be around for so long before, you know, yeah. they're gone and yeah. they've moved on and they have their own lives and families, mm-hmm. you know, and the time goes by so fast with the kids. Yeah. It goes by so freaking fast. I can't believe my baby is 11. So, you know, and so I want to make sure to be available. When I get home from work, I used to get home from work and be on the computer and like, you know, do the business of my business. And now I've realized, you know, no one's gonna die if I don't get on my computer. The business actually will be okay if I don't get on my computer and let me get home. I may get home late, you know, right. I get home as late as 7-8 o'clock. But when I get through those doors at home in the evening, I'm not trying to do work. I'm trying to
Dr. Milhouse, you are mom.
Yeah. I am.
And Fenwa, yep. of course.
Correct.
Exactly.
And they don't really care. I mean, they care, but they don't care about Dr. Milhouse. Like they, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like they're like, oh, yeah, but like, we need you, mom.
Yeah, we need mom.
Yeah.
I love that you describe it as having bonus children. What was that experience like? Because I myself, I grew up, my parents were divorced, but I had my stepmother came into my life when I was 7 years old, and she's here up till now, you know. Mm-hmm. So what was that experience like becoming a bonus mom and having bonus children?
Oh man, I really love to hear that you and your stepmom, you know, that she's very much in your life now. That warms my heart very much for me to look forward to my kids. So yeah, I fell in love with my husband, and you know, he was a father. He had two beautiful children. And when we were first dating, he made it very clear his children were very, you know, he was a very involved father. He wasn't just a weekend dad.
Yeah.
And moreover, and this doesn't have to apply to everybody, but for him, it was really important. He was like, I don't want anybody to meet my kids that I'm not ready to marry.
Right.
And so we dated for a long time, and I never met the kids.
Right.
I knew about them, saw pictures, even saw them like from afar.
Right.
You know, but like I was like, not, you know, not me. And it was a ground rule that he set with me very early. It was a hard boundary that I respected. I really did. I respected immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, I didn't meet my bonus kids until 2 weeks before I got engaged.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and we had been dating for nearly 2 years. So it was a lot of time. And I remember my first feeling was, what if they don't like me? What if they don't like me? Because these are, they like you, they were kind of big kids. They were 10 and 12.
Right. Yeah.
I think 9 and 11 when I met them, but 10 and 12 by the time we got married.
Right.
And so I was like, and the daughter, he had a daughter, was the oldest, and the son. And I was really worried about the daughter. I'm like,
of course.
She's 11. Yeah. She ain't
coming to
like
replace
me.
My mother. Excuse me. Yes. I don't think so.
Yes. And again, like I had it, you know, here we are like, hey, meet me. Oh, and by the way, we're getting engaged. Like, I felt like maybe this is,
too much, but, too soon.
Too much, but it was smooth. You know, meeting them was seamless. I thank God that they're great. They're raised by two great parents, their mother, who I have a great relationship with now. It was not easy, but now like, it's a great relationship with the mother, with the biological mother, you know. And they were, the daughter was super easy and natural. Like that part was easy. My bonus son, it was a little hard shell to crack a little bit. But the respect they got instilled from their parents goes a long way.
Right.
I feel like that helped because I instantly was given that respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? There was never this period where I'm like, I don't think they respect me. It was not that, that was not my experience.
Right.
I was given that from the beginning. I loved the part that I will say, I loved them becoming big sister and big brother to my youngest, my biological daughter. Mm-hmm. That we had. That was beautiful to see, and it's still very beautiful to see her relationship with her older kids. And we never, it was never like, that's not their, she don't even know what half sister means. Half
right.
Brother means. Like she's
that's my sister.
That's sister, that's brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's none of that. And I will say though, it challenged me mentally as a mother, because here now I had my biological daughter and I had my non-biological children. And I will tell you, if somebody tells you, oh, you naturally just love them all, like naturally it's all kumbaya, it isn't. I realized I had to not be a favorite to the biological in a sense, like internally.
Right.
You know, I wanted to not, I checked my emotions and like my thought processes, like, am I as devoted to all my children?
Mm-hmm.
That was important for me to have in my heart.
Yeah.
And it's something that was cultivated. It wasn't something that's innate. You know, it really isn't. And so, you know, that's the real. But now the children, the older children are 21 and 24. And it's very cool. I have deep conversations. I've had deep conversations with them. I've given them the puberty talk. We talked about sex. I'm always talking about sex with them. They already know, like making sure they're, you know, like protecting themselves and that kind of stuff. And And it's a big, it is a big, nice, happy, blended family. My parents, that's their grandbabies. Mm-hmm. Like they don't, you know what I'm saying? And so then they, you know, that's their grandparents. And I just love seeing that. And it's just great. I just cannot speak on it enough. And I'm blessed to have them in my life. And they definitely have molded me into part of the woman that I am today.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I love hearing this, and I especially love as well hearing that you have a relationship with their mom as well, because I didn't realize, so my father passed away in 2021, and my stepmother and I had some really, really deep conversations after his passing, and I didn't realize how involved, like, so my parents are from Jamaica and Haiti. I was born in Montreal. They moved to Jamaica for a bit, but then my mother separated with my dad, moved back to Montreal, then moved to Haiti. So I have this kind of trifecta of countries that I've lived in over my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this, but my stepmother was constantly calling my mother for advice. And on me, because I wasn't a difficult kid, but but
how do I deal with this little
that was happening. Like, my mom in the 80s, my mom told me, you know, you have to read the ingredients on a package, and if you can't read the ingredients, don't buy it or don't eat it. And I was like, my stepmother would take me to the store, and apparently she would take something and put it in the trolley, and I'd take it up and read it and be like, nope, I don't know what this is. Put it right back.
She called your mama like, what have you been teaching this boy? Making it hard for me.
But they had a relationship, and I was so happy to hear that, because, you know, I don't think I've ever uttered the words, you're not my mom, to my stepmother. And I call my stepmother mom, you know?
Oh, wow.
Granted, I didn't call any of my parents by their title until I left the nest. And I was up here in Canada. Everybody, my dad was Peter. My dad was Peter. My mom was Nadine. My stepmother was Paula. Like, I had the weirdest upbringing.
Wait, so you called them their first name?
Their first names. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. It was, I don't know why, but they accepted it. And there was one time.
Your one dad, time. You called him Dean?
Huh? Peter.
Peter or whatever, sorry, his name. You called him Peter? I can't even imagine.
But listen, there was one time that I never remember what my dad got vexed with me for. I just remember that he was vexed with me for something. And he said, I said, yes, Peter. And he was like, who? And I said, yes, dad. And it sounded so weird coming off it sounded so weird saying it. And then, I don't know, in between 2001 and 2002, something changed. And I was like, nah, this is dad. This is, and then, my dad,
that's a very non-traditional Afro-Black
definitely
cultural thing.
my dad he right away took it. My mother right away took it. My stepmother, I'd be like, mom.
She's like, who are you talking to?
Ma. Like, I was literally doing the Stewie Griffin thing, and then I was like, Paula, and she's like, oh yeah. You know,
she's like, it's, this is weird.
Like, what? Who? But I was really grateful to find out that, like, all three of my parents were like working together, and I always say, like, from before, like, I'm a writer, so I realize that I like to acknowledge my parents, and I always acknowledge that I have three parents. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in for the first time, this is Black Mothers Month. We are celebrating Black Mothers in the month of May. And the Black mother that we are celebrating this evening is Dr. Fenwa Milhouse, who is a board-certified, fellowship-trained urologist and specialist in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery, also known as urogynecology. We do have to take a break because, you know, this is Radio Land and it doesn't go on forever like on those podcasts. You know, we got to pay some bills. We got to play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3. FM.
It's mental illness. What do you think?
I have friends who don't even know that I suffer from depression.
Why don't they know?
Because I'm scared they'll ostracize me if they know and then they'll abandon me. I don't want to be alone.
You're discriminated against when you have a mental illness. With other illnesses, there's compassion.
It doesn't take much to be diagnosed mentally ill.
Due to an outburst, I was diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic. And now the doctors say it's something else.
20% of people and counting have had or will have a depression.
People throw different labels around. You're this or you're that.
Everybody psychoanalyzes someone during a conversation.
You have a right to express emotions.
Anger, love, hate, sadness, confusion. It does not mean you're ill.
If you're down and out, seek help. Don't be scared. It can be very intimidating.
There are people listening and willing to help.
We have to innovate.
Get informed. Contact your local CLSC, Sun Youth, Amy Quebec, Ford House, or Prevention Suicide.
Drops that fall from the sky, the very energy we absorb every time the sun shine. We cannot live without love, love is the most high. Me see it from my father, them no respect master God. Them treat your people like lab rats and guinea hog. Not for them I end up in a body.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we are in the month of May, so we are celebrating Black Mothers here in Canada, across the United States, and internationally if we get them. This evening's Black Mom is Dr. Fenwa Milhouse, board-certified, fellowship-trained urologist and specialist in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery, also known as urogynecology. She previously worked for the largest private practice in the state of Illinois as a leading pelvic floor surgeon, and in 2023, she started her own practice and is currently the co-founder of Down There Urology in Chicago. Dr. Milhouse enjoys using social media to destigmatize pelvic floor and sexual conditions, as well as demonstrate the importance of representation in urology. Known by the world as your favorite urologist, she has been featured on several media outlets, including Yahoo, HuffPost, Essence Magazine, CNN, Insider, Cheddar News, WGN Chicago, Fox News Chicago, The Ricky Smiley Morning Show, MD Newsline, Sex with Dr. Jess, and regularly on blackdoctor.org. And you can also see Dr. Milhouse, who is the star of TLC Network's Doctor Down Below. Fenwa, thank you so much for being here this evening. I feel like I'm having a full meal. Like, we're just having this discussion over some fufu and some some legumes, as we call it in Haiti. And, you know, we're just having a good meal together. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us as well. So... Okay, superstar, TLC Network, Dr. Down Below. Can we? Because I don't have regular TV anymore, so I don't have TLC. So tell us a little bit about that experience. Like, how did you end up getting onto the TLC Network?
So, totally organic. Okay, I'm doing my Instagram thing. It's maybe it's the end of 2020. Like, the pandemic kind of took my social media game up because I had all this free time.
Yeah,
I'm a quality of life surgeon, and so when the first wave came through, all quality of life procedures, like the only thing we were doing in the operating room was do or die stuff.
Right.
And that meant a lot, like 90% of what I do was just stopped. Right. So I was like, twiddling my thumb, like, let me do some cute little dancing. Let me teach urology while I dance. Let me do some cute videos. So I'm getting into that, and that's blowing up a little bit. And I look at my DMs, and you got to look in the DMs that's like the other DMs.
The request.
Not looking the request.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't, your blessing might be in the request. Your future husband might be in the request. Your future wife might be in the request. Okay. Yeah. Your next job might be in the request. So you got to check out the request. Okay. Yeah. Don't forget about it. All right. Yeah. Don't just, you know. So I'm looking in the request and I'm just quickly, you know, clearing that out. And I see this, like, really just random white dude. Hey, I'm such and such, and I'd like to talk to you about you being on a TV show, or you being a TV show. I don't even remember it was like, I think you'd be great for TV as a doctor. Let's talk. And I'm thinking, this is a scam.
Yeah.
This is a scam. This is like, where did his credentials? And you got to see, like, I went to his profile. I'm like, this is just a random white dude. Like, there's nothing on his page that is giving me, like, I am somebody of importance.
I'm a producer at TLC.
Yeah. He would laugh. Listen, I would tell him this to his face right now, the person who did it, because we still communicate. Like, I told him this. I was like, you were just random to me. So something made me just go, like, let me just, in case I'm wrong. So anyway, I got connected with him, and he was some sort of talent scout, if you will. And he was like, I want to pitch you to this production company, because I think I've seen your Instagram. I just think you have you would be great for a reality TV show. Mm-hmm. And I remember immediately telling him, do you know what I do all day? Like, what I examine? Like, I'm looking at penises and vaginas, like 99% of the time.
Right.
How is this going to work on TV? He's like, leave that to us. We'll figure it out. There are ways. We can blur. We can this. We can that. You just, you know, whatever. And so there was a series, multiple. It isn't just one little decision. It takes a long time. I had to do multiple interviews. And these were all Zoom interviews because of pandemic and whatever.
Yeah.
Multiple Zoom interviews. And there was a lot of time in between these interviews where I wouldn't hear from anybody. And I figured, okay, well, they didn't like me. No big deal. Like, no news is, and throughout this process, I'm thinking, this is crazy. This will never happen.
Wow.
This is complete craziness. Mm-hmm. I'm not that entertaining. And like, how are we going to show this on TV? And so I'm just waiting for them to say, or like for them to completely stop calling me.
Right.
And then just, this is not going to work. And then months will go by and I'll hear from them and they'll be like, okay, and now we want to do another thing. And I'm like, oh, wow, I thought you guys forgot about me.
Yeah.
So then I get the email that was like, we pitched you to TLC. Mm-hmm. And TLC loves the idea and wants to put a pilot together. Well, first they want to put a little teaser. We had to do that. When they the little teaser, they're like, yeah, we want to do a teaser. And yeah, we need you to find your patient, like find patients. And I'm thinking, none of my patients are going to go for this. Like, how am I going to ask them to put their junk on TV? And I was completely surprised. Like, people are so
TV happy.
I think people also are like desperate to tell their story. I think that's what it is.
Okay.
People are desperate to like tell their story.
Right.
I asked, I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm about to ask this patient something. I was like, I know this is crazy. Baby, the first first several patients said yes. I didn't get a no until like the fifth patient that I asked. And I was like, I can't believe this. People are really actually okay with this idea. And I have a way, somebody asked me when I was on Cheddar News, they're like, how did you get people to sign up for this? I was like, I don't know. Honestly, I think I have a way of making people feel safe and entrust.
Yeah.
And trust me. And I thank God for that gift that I think have a way of, again, just connecting with people. And it's all sorts of people too. And so the getting the patients wasn't that hard.
Okay.
Anyway, so we put this great pilot together and it's out there, and it aired April 2023. And it did fabulous. It had no, TLC did very little. And when I say little, it's like minuscule amount of like teasing it. It wasn't teased hardly at all. I think they put something on their Twitter, something on their Instagram. They never had a teaser on it, the commercial.
Yeah.
They did slot it right after Dr. Pimple Popper, which is widely successful. And that was really smart on their part. Yeah. And so it kind of attracted those viewers. But without hardly any advertising, my pilot episode got almost 1 million viewers that night. Just insane.
All right.
It did great. They re-aired it. It still did well. They re-aired it. But something kind of happened in TV and movie land called the strike.
The writer's strike.
Yeah, the writer's strike and all that. And that actually still affects all of the network, even the non-scripted things like reality TV shows, and kind of just changed how things were budgeted.
Right.
Budgeted. And so far right now, all we have is a pilot episode, which everybody keeps asking me, when are we going to do more? When are we going to see more? When are we going to see more? When are we going to see more? And it is not dead in the water. It is absolutely not. It's still alive. The process of having this TV show, but it's, complicated at this point. I will say watching it, because you don't get to be a part of, I mean, they didn't ask me for like, here, we're going to show you a clip. And what do you think? I'm watching it new, like everybody else. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm watching it for the first time. And I'm like bracing myself. And I was like, oh my God, they really actually captured my personality. Like they actually did right by me. I love it. This is who I am. You know what I'm saying? And it was great. I had so many patients flood my phones after the pilot aired. People from all over. I'm saying across the pond, like in the UK and what. I want you to be my surgeon. I just feel like you are so caring and so beautiful how you speak to patients and how you treat patients. And it's very I'm very honored and flattered, but also it's kind of sad because medicine, I think, has just gotten so impersonal that people are like, wow, because I think I'm just being normal.
You're just being a human being.
Like human being, just seeing people. And people are like, wow, you are amazing with patients. And just I have people say I only trust you only simply from seeing the pilot episode, just seeing me on TV for an hour.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's great that they really did well. The production company did an amazing job really capturing the essence of who I am. And, if you haven't seen it, hopefully you can try to see it somehow in some way,
but I'm sure I can really figure it out. I'm going to Google it and see how I can watch it. There is a friend of mine who is an Instagram influencer. She's a disabled Instagram influencer, and she recently had to do a procedure. I want to say it's a LEAP procedure or a LEAD procedure.
It's a her cervix.
Yeah, where they had to like cut out. No, she describes it in detail. Burn out the creech of, and I'm using her words, burn out a piece of my coochie. and she was describing it, and I found the procedure to be extremely barbaric. Apparently, they didn't want to give her any anesthesia. They didn't want to put her to sleep. When they were doing the original test,
it isn't done asleep.
Huh?
It typically is not done asleep. That's true. They should have anesthetized her some kind of way, though.
Well, she said that. Well, I don't know if during the actual procedure where they did the removal of a part of her cervix, I believe they did anesthetize her. I'm not remembering the video, but she's like, she's paralyzed from the neck down, and like she can't feel a lot of things. Like if she gets she will like randomly look at her leg and see that there's a cut, and she doesn't. And she was like, I'm paralyzed from the neck down. I can move, but I felt that.
Felt
that, and yeah. I was just thinking about it because I'm 100% certain that if there's a procedure in which they needed to go into the penis and do some kind of extraction or the other, even if it's a little minor thing, there's gonna be anesthetics and there's gonna be all of the things, because I'm pretty sure that I feel like it was a man that came up with that procedure.
Because
it's like it sounds so barbaric. It sounds barbaric, and I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. I mean, you there's some truth to this, like that you're talking about. I agree with you. I mean, we women have learned to put up with a lot, and that means putting up with like quality of life conditions, putting up with pain. We put up with pain.
Yeah.
You know, we put up with pain during intercourse. We put up with pain, procedural pain, and things that are done to us. We deal with a lot of that. And you know, I'm generalizing, but penis owners don't put up with stuff like that. You know, and you know, I want women to be more like the penis owners. Like, no, I'm not putting up with that. Nah, this ain't right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you are true. You are correct. You know, I, you know, it's the father, one of the grandfathers of gynecology was this really racist gynecologic surgeon who, Sims, and he would do, you know, we know a lot about gynecology because of his really barbaric procedures that he would do awake on Black women slaves, you know, so we have a lot of, we have a lot to really thank Black women against their will, but thank Black women for, because he did a lot of experimentation on slaves, on Black women slaves. And there's actually, I think, a statue dedicated to this now, to the slaves.
Oh,
not
okay.
Him.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pointing to the, like, not him.
I was like, another white man that has a statue. Can we tear it down?
Well,
please,
there
we're going to tear it down.
A statue of him, but I think those statues are starting to come into like, oh, we got to take these down, that kind of stuff. Like, he's not a great person to be celebrating, but like the Black women, the particular, you know, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are celebrating Black Mothers in the month of May, and we have with us Dr. Fenwa Milhouse, who is a board-certified, fellowship-trained urologist and specialist in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery, also known as urogynecology. She's worked for the largest private practice in the state of Illinois as a leading pelvic floor surgeon in 2023, started her own practice, and is currently the co-founder and owner of Down There Urology in Chicago. Dr. Milhouse enjoys using social media to destigmatize pelvic floor and sexual conditions, as well as demonstrate the importance of representation in urology. And as you know, you are listening to Radioland, so we gotta pay some bills and play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Sun came to me, said I heard you having an affair with the moon. Said, don't you dare shout it tonight. why would you trade the day for night? I give you my rays and baby blue skies. Oh, I shout up and say, please hold back your pouring rain. There's something that you ought to hear me say. Oh, look now.
Beat break in the building. What it do? Five.
Are you really sure? That I got the kind of loving that you've been looking for? Have you looked around? Matter of fact, girl, you should just stop looking. What I see, and you're giving what is supposed to be given. Girl, you got an extraterrestrial love. Girl, you got a throwback vibe like Robin Givens. I ain't kidding, I ain't fibbing. Girl, I wanna give a rib like I'm Adam. Give it to ya, hallelujah, I pursue ya. Girl, I wanna do more than just do ya. Cause you looking like just what a nigga really like. And you looking like just what a nigga needed like.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back for the final time this evening, but not for the final time forever. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we are celebrating Black Mothers for the month of May. And our Black Mother, our featured Black Mother for this evening is Dr. Fenwa Milhouse, who is a board-certified, fellowship-trained urologist and specialist in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery, also known as urogynecology. She previously worked for the largest private practice in the state of Illinois as the leading pelvic floor surgeon, and in 2023, she started her own practice and is currently the co-founder and owner of Down There Urology in Chicago. Dr. Milhouse enjoys using social media to destigmatize pelvic floor and sexual conditions, as well as demonstrate the importance of representation in urology. Known by the world as your favorite urologist, she has featured on several media outlets, including Essence Magazine, Insider, WGN Chicago, The Ricky Smiley Show, Sex with Dr. Jess, and regularly on blackdoctor.org. And Dr. Milhouse is the star of TLC Network's Doctor Down Below. Dr. Milhouse, again, gratitude for being here. Thank you so much. We are wrapping up the show, but I have maybe a couple more questions. As a working mom, what advice would you give your fellow working moms?
I would tell them to first give themselves grace. Even though they are balancing motherhood and working and they have guilt, their babies are seeing them doing both. And I guarantee you they're learning from that. You know, my mother was a working mom, immigrant mom, working mom, worked. I never saw her the whole weekend. I would never see her because she worked long hours, mm-hmm. you know. And I see her, I still felt very close to her and really inspired by her even as I got as I got older. And so as your babies grow up, they will look back and be like, dang, she was kind of doing a lot. She did, you know what I'm saying? She was holding the fort down. So they will see it. They may not show it, express it. It may not feel good now, but it will be learning lessons and teaching moments and just inspiration. The other thing I would say is, like, in that same vein, like, spend quality time with our kids. They need that ever more. So because they're so distracted by so many things, you know, YouTube, TikTok, whatever. You know, take that phone away, put that electronic down and just, get back to the fundamentals of spending time with our children. That's quality time and teaching them things that are important and just, you know, being in their space. That would be, you know, because they grow up so fast, right. You know, they grow up so fast. So those would be my, and take them to work with you. That's the other thing is like, take them to work with you. If there's an opportunity to like have them see what you do at work and in your workspace, take them to work with you. I have taken my daughter to work multiple times. Okay, you go here, you dip those urines. The work too. you do put some gloves on, dip those urines. I don't really make her dip the urines. Okay, she likes to play with the shredder. I'm like, here, shred these documents. Here you
right.
go.
Yeah.
But yeah, let them see, you know, what you do at work. So that's my advice.
You know, that's so interesting that you say that because my parents. Well, my father in particular was an entrepreneur for most of my life, and then my stepmother as well. And I remember vividly going on shoots with my dad on the weekends. Like he would sometimes get a photo shoot for a Jamaican calendar with Red Stripe or something like that. So we'd get on this huge bus with all the models and all the assistants and the makeup artists, and we'd go on this shoot. We'd travel to Ocho Rios and go to Duns River Falls and do this, all of this stuff. And I remember vividly also being in the dark room with him and like smelling the chemicals, and I mean it's all toxic, but just like really enjoying smelling the chemicals and seeing him with his projector, and then seeing the magic of like this photo coming to life live right in front of us. And there's something to bringing your kid to work, especially if you're an entrepreneur and you don't have to worry about like your boss saying, oh, you know, we can't have kids in this environment or so on and so forth. Like, no, that's actually a good thing. Like, because my parents worked long hours, and sometimes, and being an entrepreneur, their work wasn't just working. They're part of their work. They had to socialize. And so, you know, a client or one of their peers would come over in the afternoon, late evenings, and we wouldn't be leaving the office until 8-9 o'clock at night, you know, sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to incorporate your kids into your lifestyle and into your work life as well, in order to be able to, you know, get that quality time whenever you can as well.
I also think it teaches children the value of money, the value of like, this is what goes into me getting the money that allows you to have things that you like and do things that you like, you know. And I do see some progress in like, even in the non-entrepreneurial workspaces where employers are maybe a little bit more welcoming of kids, you know, in the workplace. My hairdresser, my loctician, every time I get my hair locked, her grandbaby's right there. Her daughter is a loctician too.
Okay.
And her grandbaby that's like 3 years old is right there. Like everybody knows her now. I know her too. I'm like, okay, but you know, she runs around the hair place, you know, this and that. And, you know, it allows quality time with her mother, her grandmother, and she sees, you know, that they working, you know, and they're working for to give her the kind of life that, you know, she gets to enjoy. So it's definitely.
And what is some advice that you would give someone who is looking to become a doctor and maybe potentially a urologist?
I would say that it's a long road. It can be very rewarding, but it is a long road. It's great now because literally we have the world at our fingertips. Like you can see people that look like you a lot easier than when I was in the training, and find those people, find that tribe it's easier to find that tribe now because of the beauty. That's the beautiful part about social media. There's a lot of ugly part about it, but one of the beautiful things it gets to connect people and connect ideas and connect like-minded people. And, you know, I found my tribe. We found each other through this, you know, and we're hopefully inspiring others. So find that. You're going to have to work hard. It's not easy. You're really going to have to work hard. You're going to have to study hard. You can do it, though. Do not let what you think of yourself, or I don't have the pedigree, I don't have the whatevers, that doesn't matter, okay? Yeah. Can do it. Everybody is clueless when you first get to medical school, but they're all pretending to be have it together. Everybody's pretending, okay? Everybody's pretending. They're right. All fronting, okay?
Everybody fronting.
No one knows what they're doing, okay? Same for residency. When you first get into internship, no one knows what they're doing. They're all fronting. They all look like they got it together on the outside. Guarantee you they're sweating bullets on the inside, just like you. Right. They know what they're doing. They're second guessing themselves. Imposter syndrome is very real. It is very common. It's you can get through. I still have imposter syndrome. I get asked to public speak at a conference, at a medical conference or something, and I'm like, why me? I don't think I am qualified, you know? So don't let these things, don't let these things be roadblocks. Don't let these aren't real things that define your abilities, okay? These are feelings, but they aren't the truth. That's the thing. These are feelings, they are not the truth, okay? Yeah. Find out from mentors or from people who are doing it like you, what are the things that are gonna matter most to help me get to where I wanna be? If it's becoming a urologist, what do I need to do? Well, do some urology research. You know, get good letters of recommendation. Like, there's logistical things, there's tangible things that I would advise somebody on a personal level. You are, feel free to DM me. Mm-hmm. I'm very accessible. I'm extremely accessible. I check the request, okay? Yes. So you can DM me at Dr. Milhouse on Instagram. I've been known to just get somebody on the phone. They're like, hey, I'm interested in urologists. I'm like, here, let me just talk to you on the phone. Because what I got to say, I think we just need to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And the last thing is somebody asked me this, like, how did you excel in residency or whatever? And I said to myself, fake it until you make it. That was literally my motto, fake it till you make it. And that fake it till you make it means I'm going to show up confident, like I belong here, when I fully well in my brain feel like I don't.
Right.
Right. You know, I'm going to not let them see me sweat. Mm. I'm not going to be arrogant and be stupid and foolish and think that I can do something that if I haven't been trained to do something, be like, I can do it. Mm-hmm. It's not a foolish arrogance, blind, you know, whatever. It is I'm going to appear outwardly confident and like the position is already for me, even though I may not have that on the inside.
Yeah.
Fake it till you make it. I'm telling you, when people see that outwardly confidence, they want to pour more into you.
Yeah.
People want to pour more into that type of that thing. So,
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to be with us this evening. Really much gratitude. Love the conversation that we were able to have. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are just tuning in, you can get the full show on our website at ckut.ca. We are celebrating Black Mothers for the month of May, and we had with us Dr. Fenwa Milhouse, board-certified, fellowship-trained urologist and specialist in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery, a.k.a. urogynecology. Dr. Milhouse, please let people know how they can get in touch with you, your social media, rolling out the red carpet for you.
Thank you, Kim. It's been a pleasure. This has been so fun, easy. If you want to see more of me, get in touch with me. I'm very active on Instagram at Dr. Milhouse. Milhouse is with one L, M-I-L-H-O-U-S-E. If you just search your favorite urologist anywhere, Google it, just put your favorite urologist. You will most likely come up on me. I'm also on TikTok at your favorite urologist. I am, my website is yourfavoriteurologist.com. And I own, and if you want to see me as a patient, I'm happy to see you at downthereurology.com. Downthereurology.com. That's how you can find me.
All right, all right, all right. That brings us to the end of the evening. But come back next week, Tuesday, as we'll have another Black Mother celebrating Black Mothers in the month of May. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and you have been listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Welcome to OFC Podcast Radio, where every beat, every word, and every laugh is a celebration of our journey. Join Gina the Great, your joy curator, Farrah Hammond Freeman, the head honcho, and me, Queen Kaya, your soul sister. Get ready to groove to the rhythm of empowerment, laugh to the melody of resilience, and rock with the harmony of inspiration. This is where our voices unite, our stories shine, and our spirits soar. Stay tuned for a dose of melanated excellence every Thursday at 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM and OFCPodcastRadio.com.
Get ready. The legendary Barris Hammond returns. Saturday, July 27th, inside L'Olympia Concert Hall, downtown Montreal. This is an early evening show, so bring your mother, auntie, sister, and granny. We're all going to see Uncle Barris. When you're wrapped up in my arms. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Early bird tickets on sale now at BarrisHammondMontreal.com. Barris Hammond, Saturday, July 27th, live in Montreal.
Ascultați emisiunea de radio Marcarlo pe 90,3 FM CKUT.
Шияри трист, шияри депресняк, шияри из